Hit it. Welcome to the Barrel Rollers Podcast for the week of September 6th, 2009, episode 24. Insert witty comment here. I'm Cody, and this week we've got a new format because Nick is off doing busy film school crap, a.k.a. he's jousting in the hallways. And yes, he actually did take a video of him jousting in the hallways of his dorm. But that is not the point because he is gone, and we have Tyler back, and we have his buddy Nate. How you guys doing?
Not too bad.
I'm fine.
And we have a new format for the show. Instead of doing news, we're just going to talk. Then again, we talk every week, so it's no big difference. Anyways, so I had you two on because I've really wanted to play this game, but I don't have a PS3. So we're going to talk about Fat Princess. Go.
Fat Princess is a great game.
That is the most description I've ever heard you talk.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's one of those games where if console finally gets like a really, really, really nice exclusive game that everyone wants to play and they can't because it's exclusive, it's one of those games, and it's awesome.
Tell us about it. Someone, please.
All right. Well, Fat Princess is it's a multiplayer game, exclusively most of the time multiplayer. I mean, can't play single player, but
it's not fun.
Yeah, not really.
The single player. The single player is crap.
Yeah, there's a single-player story. Most people just play it to get used to the game, and then you jump online as soon as you can. It's pretty much a comic style, shaded, very bloody, gory battle to retrieve your princess from the captured castle.
It's kind of like combining Animal Crossing with gore. That's basically what you get. Yeah. Animal Crossing, gore, and then just a multiplayer bloodbath of feeding princesses cake.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, it's 16 on 16, I think it is. And basically you are one person, but it's basically like an RTS, but you control one person and you kind of can switch classes. And basically you try to get your princess back from the opponent's castle, and you have to prevent your enemy from getting their princess from your castle. And to do that, you feed her cake. Literally, the game is called Fat Princess for one thing, and that is to get the other opponent's princess fat, so that it takes more people to bring her back. I mean,
pretty much. I mean, there's multiple game modes, but that's essentially it. It's basically capture the flag with a twist, and it's a lot different from regular capture the flag, because if you think capture the flag, you usually think Unreal Tournament and Halo and all those, all first-person shooters, occasionally third-person shooters. But this game's different in the fact that you have a bird's eye view of the entire battlefield, and it creates an interesting way to play, I guess you could say, because at the same time you can see where your enemies are, and they can see you. So it's kind of having it really has a big emphasis on teamwork.
What are the classes? Because it was like four different types.
It's, five.
Five. What are they?
There's priest, mage, worker, archer, and soldier.
Okay.
And technically there's six if you count civilian. And civilian is basically if you don't put a hat on, which we'll get into more about that later. And yeah.
And there are also two levels of each character, so you will have almost, essentially 10 options instead of just the five.
Yeah. And what's interesting about the upgrades is that it's not your typical upgrade where it's like, oh, you have a stronger sword. It's more like you get a different weapon that does essentially the same thing, but it does it differently, and how you use it is what counts the most. For example, the warrior gets a sword and a shield. He can use the shield to basically, prevent arrows from hitting him, such stuff like that. But his upgrade weapon is a giant spear, and that doesn't have a shield, but it allows you to charge it up and do this like long dash attack, which is pretty sweet, but then you lose the defensive capability of it.
How do you change classes?
It's a matter of just running up to a hat and picking it up and wearing it. Yep. It's just essentially hitting circle.
Well, it's nice, too, is that you can be out in the battlefield. You can be, say, you know, be a soldier. You can slice down an archer, and then he'll drop his hat, and you can pop his hat on, turn instantly into an archer, and then shoot the opponent from a distance.
Yeah, I heard about that, and also I found it interesting. Like, you could be a level 1 archer, and if you take down a level 2 archer, you can pick up his hat, and you instantly become level 2. Basically, the class and level is determined by the hat, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and you can also change between what weapon for that class you use at any time by hitting triangle. So, like, that sword and shield versus a spear, you can switch anytime you feel like, for whatever occasion you need.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, it's definitely awesome, and it gives the game a much more refreshing strategy.
Yeah. Now, I thought one interesting feature that I saw was the fact that so there's a path from one castle to another, and that you actually run faster when you're on the path than when you're off the path. So it kind of directs the flow of where everyone's going to be going. It's very interesting to see how many people actually take the path and choose not to go on the grass just to get that extra speed boost.
I don't think it slows you down, does it?
I
didn't notice that.
Yeah, I heard if you're on the path, you actually go faster than when you're on the grass.
You do, yeah, and it's like there is, you know, different ways to go. You know, there's one level with water, there's a, you know, level with lava, different things like that, and you can, you know, kind of jump from island to island and try to get speed that way.
Yeah.
But most of the time the princess is brought by the path just because it is a little bit quicker.
Okay. I didn't even know that. All right. But yeah, most levels, I don't know, the levels are really cool considering that there isn't one way to go. Like, there's probably at least 3 different paths to each castle, and then there'll be 1 or 2 secret ways of getting into the castle.
Yeah. How about the catapult?
Catapult is, like, the best catapult ever.
Yeah, it catapults you over to your enemy's castle. And
yeah. I heard some people saying that if you actually time it right and all your enemies are out in the battlefield fighting, if you catapult over, it's basically like a Fat Princess version of the Zerg Rush from StarCraft. You can just nail them quickly.
Yeah, the thing – well, the game's a strategy game, and going out by yourself is like
suicide.
It's not very effective. I mean, it's possible, but you're not going to get very far, especially when you get up to their castle. But the cool thing about the catapult is that you can just sit in there and wait. And how you activate it is you keep jumping, and there's like 3 levels of how many times you jump on it. It'll give it more power. And so you can just wait for like 3 people to jump in there with you, and then you all just launch to the enemy castle. Sometimes you land inside it too, which is pretty sweet.
That's pretty.
You know, one thing I did find is it is kind of hard to, unless you are talking, you know, with a Bluetooth over the PlayStation Network, to really strategize with your teammates, and it's very rare that you find people who actually do talk on it, which you know, most online games, most, you know, it is hard, but I find it more difficult with the PlayStation than say like if it was an Xbox game, just because more people have a Xbox mic than have a Bluetooth for PlayStation
right. 3. Yeah, I have that same feeling too. I mean, I've joined a few games, people are talking, and I have a Bluetooth, I could use it, but I've just never really bothered to. And I think that's part of the problem, because usually when you don't have any coordination, it ends up being a stalemate. And the game allows for for your guy to say something and like a little explanation point over his head to grab people's attention. It can work, but there are times where it's just like, this really isn't helping me any.
Yeah. Now, one thing I have heard is that although, like you said, talking is kind of a needed factor for strategizing. The fact that you can actually see all your enemies and it's not first person, you get such a, like, an overhead view, it's actually a lot easier to come up with strategies and see what your allies and opponents are doing at the same time.
Yeah, it is a lot easier, but I consider it a double-edged sword because you can organize yourself a lot easier, except
you can't talk.
Besides the talking, but just from gameplay-wise, in a first-person shooter, for instance, in Capture the Flag, there's always that possibility of getting really far by yourself just from hiding, so to speak. However, in this game, you see everyone everywhere, so it's kind of hard to just sneak up on the enemy sometimes.
Right.
And you do have a map that you can pull up also that shows you each individual spot of where people are, and it does show you also what class they are, so you can see if you know they have like a couple like you know archers nested at their base, things like that.
That's cool. So basically, it really is like you can see the whole map no matter where you are. Like
yeah.
Like there's no fog of war at all. Like
nope.
Hindering
no.
you.
Just as much as you can see without the map.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so if you get a PS3, definitely pick it up. Now, next one is a game in which I brought this over to Nick's house, and he freaking flipped out because he is a huge comic book fan, and he does not own a 360. He owns a Wii, so he could not get Batman Arkham Asylum. But I brought it over to his house. I didn't tell him I had bought it. I just walked into his front door and showed it to him, and he stood there for about 5 minutes screaming at me. And I got to say, this game, I would say game of the year. And I know, Nate, you picked it up too. Have you played it a lot?
I played it a little bit, mostly just, you know, first level or so. But I did pick it up for – I do have all three systems. I picked it up for the PlayStation 3 because of the Joker playable character of the PlayStation 3 version.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But I would agree that it is up there for, you know, picks for game of the year. Just it is a very well-made game.
Yeah, as I've told many people, unless Brutal Legend or Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 really blows us away, I'm going to give this game of the year because it's just all around awesome. And, like, it's one of those games where they got stealth nailed. They got combat nailed. They got ambiance nailed. I really think the only thing that really is kind of meh about the game is the voice, just the way the lips sync up with the voicing. But the voice acting is so amazing, it really doesn't matter.
No, and, you know, it's nice that they did get all the original voices from the cartoons, too. You know, got Mark Hamill to play the Joker.
Right.
That was cool.
I'm not really sure who plays Batman, but it is the original guy who always used to play Batman.
They got the
It's not Adam West, mind you.
No, they got the entire animated series cast for this game.
Yep.
Which, as I told Nick, it's like, that's a good thing because I don't want to see Christian Bale stand like talking and then all of a sudden switch back to the comic book series. I think it's really good that they went with the consistency.
No,
It was really weird though. I played the demo and, you know, after watching Dark Knight and all that.
It's weird to hear Batman talk like that.
Yeah, it's weird now when you've heard him in this role in the movies where it's just so good, and now to hear him in his cartoon actor's voice.
Well, the thing is that in the cartoon, he doesn't really try to hide his voice.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And he doesn't sound as pissed off half the time.
Well,
now, probably to stop scaring children.
I'm sure the biggest thing was the creators did wanted to, you know, make that distinction that it's the comic book based, not the movie based. So.
Right, right. And then the one thing I really enjoy is they got 42 character bios in the game. Like, it is ridiculous.
I didn't even know there was that many characters in Batman.
Oh, there's a lot more. Like I was telling you, they completely missed. They didn't have anything about Robin. But if you like, I went around and actually took the time to search for everything in the game, and I got all the character bios. And there's Iceman, the Penguin, Bane. There is just there's like 41 or 42 different character bios in this game, and it's like, holy crap! Someone actually took the time to put all this stuff in here.
Fanboy's dream.
Yeah. And then what's even more amazing is that some of the characters, the ones who are actually in the game, who play parts in the game, they actually have you can listen to audio of them with the psychologist, like, interviewing them, like, inside, like, the asylum. It is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that they did was they captured how Batman is supposed to fight.
You know, exactly.
When Batman is surrounded by like 10, 15 enemies, you know, you have the ability to attack another guy while if a guy's about to attack you in the back, you know, you can hit up the heads up button and allow yourself to counter his attack while still fighting the other guy. You know, it's amazing how fluid the combat is, and it just blew me away first time I played it.
No, that's exactly what I think is like. I don't think I've ever seen such fluid combat ever. I really think this is the best combat system I've ever played with.
Oh, and it has to be.
Like, I'm more of a first-person shooter type of guy. I don't normally play third-person games, but this is one of my favorite games of at least the past decade. Like, there is just nothing you can really argue that makes it bad.
Well, the Guinness Book of World Records gave it the best superhero game to date.
That is true, but also
it's competing against Superman 64.
It's competing against that... every it should really be a class of its own, because every video game that's been an iteration of a comic book has just been awful.
Not every single one. There's been some good ones, but clearly not to this caliber.
No, definitely not. No. This really got the recognition it deserved.
Agreed.
Okay, and there is our stopping point. We are going to go now to Rock Band 2, because I picked that up. That's right. I picked up Rock Band 2 because I was tired of Guitar Hero 4, the piece of bullshit that it is.
Yay. And
I've got to say, after spending some decent quality time with Rock Band, there is no question. Get Rock Band. It is significant. It is years ahead of Guitar Hero. It's amazing.
Oh, I mean, just the song list, too. I mean, yeah, Guitar Hero has good song lists. You know, it has some good old songs. But when it comes to, you know, downloadable content, things like that, Rock Band just by far has the better song list to choose from.
Now, I don't even think it's downloadable content. But overall, Rock Band has, like, on the disc itself, has a more distinct and variety of songs than is on Guitar Hero World Tour.
Yeah.
Harmonix knows what they're doing. Especially when Harmonix is a music game company more than Activision is.
Well, no, the thing.
I think that helps.
Well, yeah, Activision is crap when it comes to creating music games. And then the other thing is that Red Octane.
DJ
is,
Hero.
Oh, we're not even going to get into that. like with Guitar Hero, Red Octane, the kind of peripheral side of it. All they do is make peripherals. I mean, they don't really make software at all. So, I mean, the fact that Guitar Hero has like a peripheral company behind it making these dedicated peripherals, and they still suck. Seriously, something's wrong. Like, Nate, have you had any problems with the peripherals for Guitar Hero World Tour?
For Guitar Hero, yeah. Like, even everyone I know who's gotten Guitar Hero World Tour has had a problem with the red pad. You know, just the wiring of it, something's wrong with it. Just, you know, I mean, even I had the cymbal, I was just turning it a little bit just to move it out of the way a little bit, and I just stripped the wire on it that quick.
Yeah. I actually heard that the people that have the most difficulties are really the people that bought it in the first week of the launch, and I'm like, yeah, that's great. The people who want the game most and who are going to support you are going to go out and buy it in the first week, and you just went and screwed them over.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I mean, I had it for about 12 hours before one of my cymbals started to crap out. That's not good.
Mm-mm.
And the fact that you have to manually tune the drum kit, because if you don't know, like, sometimes the pads or cymbals on the drum kit will get, like, oversensitive or undersensitive. So you have to hook it up to a computer and then, like, determine it by that. And it's like, no, it should not have to be done.
I never had that problem. I mean, I'm borrowing Nate's drum set, but I didn't have any issues.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, me and Nick had to call up Activision, and they actually had to send us a USB to MIDI converter to plug the drum set into a computer and tune it.
You have the Wii version. Both of you have the Wii version, right?
Yeah.
Was that it? Was it the fact that it was the Wii drum set?
I'm pretty sure it was every single system is able to hook the drum set up to a computer, and it's just awful.
Well, I know that was the PS3 drum set. You can hook it up to a computer and use this program, use it as a synth drum thing.
Yeah, but that's cool.
That's
fine. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with the fact that you have to
fix it with a computer.
Exactly. They're basically like, here's a drum set, fix it yourself. It's like,
yeah.
No, I don't want to fix it. I shouldn't have to fix it. I paid $180 not to fix it.
Well, it's Activision, so Activision's going to milk a series.
That's
all it comes down to, is just milking the series.
That's beside. Did you hear the reasoning behind that? Did you hear the CEO's reasoning behind milking the series?
It was like, because everyone wants it, right?
No, he said because they find that the people that buy Activision games are people that like sequels and not new games. And it's like, yeah, okay, people do like sequels. But when you come out with a new Call of Duty every year, you come out with a new Tony Hawk every year, and you come out with 5 hero games a year. That's ridiculous. Like, seriously, Guitar Hero Metallica, Guitar Hero 5, Van Halen, Band Hero, DJ Hero, Smash Hits, not to mention there's, like, another one on the Modern Hits on the DS. I mean, seriously, that's, like, 6 or 7 games for one series. It's like, I don't want to shell out the cash for that. That's ridiculous.
I kind of hope that if this series does, I mean, when you think music games, you think Guitar Hero first and Rock Band.
Right.
And I think because it has that name, if Activision screws this up, like, it's going to screw up the whole entire game industry, I think.
Like I was saying, like, I played Rock Band 2, and it has like gameplay wise, it's not that far ahead of Guitar Hero. I mean, they're basically the same, but it's those like secondary features that you don't notice until you really notice them that really make it. And I feel like Guitar Hero is selling because it's a hero game. It's a known brand, and they marketed it well. But like, there are just so many more and distinct features for Rock Band 2. Like, I noticed one of them is that if you have a x4 multiplier or are using star power, the crowd will actually help sing the song with you. And it's like, that's not in Guitar Hero, and it doesn't seem like it's a real big thing. But once you notice it, it's like, yeah, that's what a crowd would do at a real concert. They would sing back the song.
Yeah.
I mean, another thing is that when you're in tour mode, in Guitar Hero, you just play one song and then move on to the next song in a very linear fashion. But with Rock Band, you like have to play different gigs, different sets. And once you start playing the sets, you're like, oh my God, I cannot tell you how many times I played Hungry Like the Wolf in the past 12 hours. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what a real band must feel like. They get sick and tired of playing the same old songs.
Yeah, I mean, when me and my friends went through the tours, me and two of my friends, it's awesome. Just you get your favorite songs that when you get to make your own set list,
right,
on tour, that you play over and over and over again, and right, you can score in the high 100,000 points. So, I mean, I found that, it is more realistic when it comes to the tour than Guitar Heroes. Yeah. And, I think I started on Guitar Hero with Guitar Hero 2, but right when I got Rock Band, I loved their guitars better. And you know,
I have to agree, because I would say that the World Tour guitar is probably the best Guitar Hero guitar I've ever used. And
I disagree.
Well,
I like Guitar Hero 1's guitar a lot better.
I don't like that because the neck is extremely small. And the reason why I say I like Guitar Hero World Tours is because it's weighted nicely. It's got a nice finish. It actually feels like you're playing like a decent guitar. But then once you pick up Rock Bands, even though like the neck isn't as thick as Guitar Heroes, you pick it up and it literally feels like, I do play a guitar, it literally feels like you're holding a guitar. Like, it's got the entire like design and finish down to the tooth and nail that I don't even notice a difference, really, except for the weight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can always get the Logitech ones that are like $200.
That's ridiculous.
It's like, have you seen it?
Yeah, I have. It's like a realistic like guitar with like weight and everything, and it's $250, and it's wireless to the PS3 or PS2. And I'm like,
you mean Xbox?
No, I don't think it's Xbox. I think it was only made for the PS3 and PS2.
Oh. That's interesting.
But it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't want to pay $200 for a quote-unquote realistic guitar, because the one that they provide is actually really good.
Mm-hmm. You know, I found with the drums, too, that if, when the song's going and you're playing the expert level, even the hard level, it's going to be a little bit easier. Well, I don't even want to say easier, just less confusing to play than the Guitar Hero one. Because personally, I found when playing the Guitar Hero one, I would sometimes, not hit the cymbal, or I would hit the pad instead of hitting the cymbal when I saw a color come down. But Rock Band, it's set up in the four ways, and that's the way it comes down the screen. So it's pretty self-explanatory on which to hit. And I found I was always guessing with Guitar Hero sometimes.
Right. Well, did you play Guitar Hero World Tour first or Rock Band first?
I played Rock Band 1 first.
See, that's the thing, is I feel like that people who started out with Rock Band actually got really confused when it came to cymbals. But for me, I started out with the Guitar Hero, and I actually I can move between them pretty flawlessly, and it's no big deal. But I feel like, yeah, because you started out with Rock Band and you're not used to the cymbals raised up on the Guitar Hero 1, it will be different. But I do got to say, even though the Rock Band 1 doesn't come with cymbals, you can actually buy them extra, it is a lot better. I mean, it's solid for one thing.
Yeah, those are nice.
It's built really solid. The fact that you don't have cymbals like raised up makes it a lot easier to do drum rolls. And then my biggest complaint is that my biggest complaint with Guitar Hero is that the bass pedal is free moving. And what they did is to try to stick it on the ground, quote unquote stick it, is that they put Velcro on the bottom. And for me, I live with pets. I put that thing on the ground and it instantly picks up dog hair and it no longer sticks to my carpet. It's a pain in the ass. So every time I'm playing, it moves all over the place. Not to mention the fact that it's built so crappily that I'm actually breaking it every time I hit it. And like, I played Rock Bands and I'm like, I can probably stomp on that thing as hard as I can. I'm not even going to attempt to crack it. Like the fact that it's also stuck, like they actually make it so that you have to put it like on a bar attached to the drum set, makes it so it won't move. It's just so nice.
And yeah, you know, that's one thing. It's got the metal plate reinforced on it also.
Yeah, it has a metal plate reinforced. Not to mention, if you actually look underneath it, what actually hits, like if you have the pedal and then the base of the pedal, what actually hits it is like these two like really high intense foam balls that like they don't, like with Guitar Hero, you have this like giant plastic thing that just nails down in the bass, and that's what registers. But not in Rock Band, it actually has reinforcement built in, so they're expecting you to wail on this thing.
Yeah, it's you know, most people, you get Rock Band, you're not going to play it 3-4 times. You get to play it 300-400 times. So.
Exactly. With Guitar Hero, you have no choice but to play it 3 or 4 times because it breaks on you.
You could probably consider Rock Band the more hardcore of the music games compared to Guitar Hero now.
I think you consider Rock Band the music game, because Guitar Hero is dead to me right now.
Oh, poor Cody.
I mean,
I'm sorry. As me and Nick both agree, worst $180 investment we've ever used.
It's oh yeah, I mean, I bought it day it came out, and the reason I bought it, Guitar Hero World Tour, and I didn't wait for Rock Band 2, was the music creator, which ended up being a mess. So.
Crap.
Yeah.
I could do better on GarageBand with their freaking loops. Holy crap. Seriously, Guitar Hero MIDIs? Really? You want us to play with MIDI files?
Yeah. I give them the credit for trying. But,
it's 2 minutes long. There's a two-minute limit. That's bullshit.
Hang on. I give them the credit for trying, but I facepalm their attempt.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the custom... You know, we're not even going to get into that. Rock Band. But the other thing, like, Rock Band 2, 800 downloadable tracks. Guitar Hero, 120. Like, 120.
Only 120? I thought it was less than that, to be honest.
And I think it's 120, maybe, if that. But, like, Rock Band's also touting that they're going to have 1,000 songs by the end of the year. It's like...
With new games?
Well, they only released the Beatles.
Oh, wait, I said Guitar Hero.
No, Rock
Band. Rock Band is releasing 1,000 new songs, or is going to hit the 1,000 song marker by the end of the year. And it's one of those things where I would be skeptical if they hadn't hit 500 last year. But the fact that they hit 500 last year, yeah, I can see them easily doing 1,000. Considering that they release new songs weekly, and that they're already at like 850. So. I mean, more power to them. The fact that I can spend $2 on one song that I like instead of having to spend $50 on like 20 songs that I like and having to play through 60 other crap songs makes me a hell of a lot more willing to spend money on Rock Band.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I loved too is a person who bought Rock Band, Guitar Hero, the first Guitar Hero, and played through it and got favorite songs playing the tour. For $5, as long as you own the original Rock Band, you could get all those songs put on your hard drive,
yeah,
and you could play those on Rock Band 2 during the tour, which I love. That was awesome.
That was amazing. And did you hear that they attempted to do this with Guitar Hero 4 to Guitar Hero 5, and they found out that you have to pay like $20 to transfer songs, and that only 35 of the songs were actually up for relicensing. Like you
two
paid-
words, two words. Activision milking. Yeah. Yay.
Well, no, okay, it's one thing to have all 85 songs from World Tour be able to play on Guitar Hero 5, but the fact that you have to pay $20 is a bummer, and the fact that only 35 of the songs work is worse. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll save my $20 and just feel like popping in the disc.
Definitely.
Yeah, but, I mean, with Rock Band, $5, that's worth it.
$5, and you get, what did it come with, like 60-something 80. Songs? Maybe 80 songs. $5 for 80 songs. That, yeah, you might have owned them before, but the fact that you can now play all 80 of those songs natively without having to take the disc out is completely worth it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That is our time to switch topics. We're going to go to Madden 10. Nate, what do you got for us? Because you wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, I did. Actually, last year I bought Madden NFL 9, played it for about I don't know, 2 days and threw it in the garbage.
It was awful.
The biggest thing is I've always been a lover of franchise mode.
Yeah, I heard.
I don't know if anyone's with me on that.
I'll be with you, Nate.
All right, thanks, Tyler. But essentially, my favorite thing is building a team, say like the Lions, taking a bad team, building them up, winning a couple Super Bowls with them. And last year when you got through a season and you drafted a rookie, they wouldn't progress. Yeah, like their rating wouldn't progress. When you draft a rookie, they start off probably around, you know, high 70s, maybe a low 80 if you get them, get a good pick. They wouldn't progress at all. So say if I draft a rookie my first season and he's like an 81 overall, he's going to get better throughout the years. That's, you know, players right. get better. Tom Brady for the Patriots didn't start off as a great quarterback. He got better.
Right.
So, you know, that's how it is. It's natural progression of a player, of your stats. You get better. And last year's Madden, it was a huge glitch. They didn't do it. And they were focusing more on online play for those people who like to do Madden challenges and stuff. And, you know, I kind of, as a franchise mode lover, I kind of felt like they weren't really, you know, working on that. And
you got shafted. Out.
Yeah, you know, essentially. So I actually went and I bought the PS2 version. And I played that instead, just because it was actually, you know, built a lot nicer. The franchise mode actually worked. So this year I was a little hesitant in buying Madden 10 just because I was very afraid that same thing was going to happen. And I was pleasantly surprised to hear that the person who worked on the Madden for the PS2 for the franchise was now on the PS3 version.
Oh.
And they fixed all the old problems. They made it a lot nicer. Even like dealing contracts with players, they worked on that. They fixed, if you say you offer, I'll go back to Tom Brady. If you offered him like $2 million for 1 year, he wouldn't accept it and he would take offense to it. So you'd actually have to offer him more money than what he originally wanted, which is cool. You know, it gives players, you know,
sense of arrogance.
Yeah, I guess. You know, it's cool. And players also, if you have, all right, again, I'll say Tom Brady, and your cap room is a little bit down the next year, his contract's up. If he wants to stay with your team and win another Super Bowl, he'll take less money to do so.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, rookies, the biggest thing they did was they made preset drafts where no matter what franchise you do, it's always going to be the same people who are getting drafted. It's not like a randomization of players.
Yeah.
So, you know, Madden, you can go up to 30 years in franchise mode, so they have 30 years worth of the draft pre-built. Which
wow.
Is, yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
The biggest thing was going back to Tom Brady, he was a six-round draft pick, which, you know, a lot of six-round draft picks don't go and win three Super Bowls.
Right.
Which in previous Maddens, you got anyone in the sixth round, he was going to be a 50-60 overall. In this year's Madden, you can actually get a Tom Brady. You can get a sleeper who's going to be a really good overall in the sixth round.
Really?
Yes.
So they actually have kind of like, I guess it would be like a football prodigy kind of just hiding out in the shadows.
Yep.
That is really cool.
Yeah, it is. I love that. So, you know, I bought it this year after reading your reviews about it. I got it the day it came out, and I've been happy with it since.
So it lives up to the hype.
It does. It does. I mean, for those who were really looking for improvement in gameplay, it's not really there. I mean, they improved it a little bit.
It's a football game. What really can you improve upon?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they got the new thing where you fight for every inch, where you're going to have like...
Oh, I heard about that.
When a running back gets tackled or gets wrapped up by two defenders, your offensive line can wrap you up from behind and push push the pile forward. So it's fighting for every inch. You're going to try to power through it. There's a new feature that if you dive onto a football for a fumble, you actually have to tap buttons to try to fight for the football, because, you know, that happens in the NFL. You fight for the ball. You don't really
tap buttons.
Yeah, you tap like it'll say, you know, tap X on, you know, the HUD. It'll pop up X or circle or triangle.
So it's kind of like quick time events to get the ball.
Yeah, quick time events to get the ball essentially.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty good considering that it's not everything's automated.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They changed the presentation of it. There's a lot more presentation in it. Like if your running back dives for the touchdown and just barely gets it, they don't just say touchdown across the screen. They go to the refs and they have the refs like get into a huddle, talk about it, and then they all like throw their arms up like you got a touchdown. So, you know, it's a little bit more suspensive and you get a better presentation of what it would actually be like to play a football game even though you're sitting on your ass at home.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But, and then there's like flowing towels, right?
Oh yeah, I heard that. I heard that apparently they made the towels very a lot more realistic, and the people commentating on the video were like, fix the damn game first and then add towel physics.
Like, yeah, they added you can add a towel to your player too, which, you know, is kind of cool. But
like, in all honesty, if a towel's on the bench and you're watching the field as you play, who cares about towel physics?
I do.
A couple people actually do, but
dude, towels are serious business, man.
When you're taking a bath, yes. When you're playing football, no.
Or if you're at the beach.
We're not talking about the beach. We're talking about football. Football!
All right, and one last thing that they did add that was kind of cool was downloadable content to the fact that, like, during your franchise, most of them were for the franchise, but like during your franchise mode, you scout. You can scout up to 20 players for your team of rookies. And, you know, there's a couple hundreds of rookies each year. One feature is you could actually buy for $2.99, you could buy the ability to see, to have every player scouted for you coming into the draft.
Wow.
So that was one add-on. There was also a couple other add-ons, like if you're having, you know, say Brett Favre retires and actually stays retired, you can buy for 99 cents the ability to talk him out of it.
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Didn't they add Michael Vick or something like that?
Yeah, they added him in the roster update. They have, I don't know, sometimes weekly roster updates, but, you know, if nothing big changes, sometimes a month. So, but, I mean, most of the time they say pretty update on the roster updates, which is cool. But
that's pretty cool. Mm. So overall, and would you say that the biggest change was to franchise and nothing else? Or
biggest change to franchise? I mean, they did add on the online franchise, which they did have last year, but it's actually $10 to buy online. Oh. But if you bought the game new, it's in your booklet, the code to get it.
Oh, that's cool.
So if you buy it used or if you rent it, you don't get it.
Yeah.
Is essentially what they did. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is franchise. I mean, online, you're still going to get competitive online types. They still haven't fixed the unplugged Ethernet cable and then nobody wins thing. that's, you know, I'm sure people rip EA for that. But besides for that,
what don't they rip EA for?
Yeah, that's true.
Have you played it, Nate? Online, that is?
What?
Have you played online,
the game? Online, man? No, I don't really play online, man.
No?
No, just franchise.
Okay, so we're almost 40 minutes in, so I think it's a good time to end. Hope you enjoyed this, and we'll be doing this probably every other week. Next week, Nick's going to be back for episode 25. And, I had a good time. How'd you guys like it?
It was good.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
I like ranting about men.
Yeah, who doesn't? well, I like ranting about Guitar Hero, so we're all in the same boat. You want to email us? It's thebrpodcast@gmail.com. Go to our blog for, well, I guess I'll just have a summary of today's show instead of show notes at thebrpodcast.blogspot.com. And follow me on Twitter @TheBeast33. And we'll see you later.
Goodbye.
Bye.